If an HIV-positive woman becomes pregnant, there is a 1 in 3 chance that she will pass the AIDS virus to her baby, unless she is treated with antiretrovirals. In a wealthy Western nation, that chilling scenario for the newborn baby can be easily avoided because antiretroviral treatment is readily available and affordable. But it's a very different story in many areas of poor developing countries, where pregnant women often simply don't have the access to the life-saving medical treatment. As a result, their baby runs the real risk of becoming infected and then not making it through childhood. So how can we do more to help prevent mother-to-child transmission of HIV/AIDS and improve access to testing and treatment for children living with HIV? That's the aim behind a 3-day conference organised by the US Embassy to the Holy See and Caritas Internationalis that opened today in Rome. The conference began with presentations from world leaders in the field of AIDS prevention and treatment. Among those experts giving presentations was Michel Brommelsek of Catholic Relief Services, who manages a project entitled AIDS Relief, that seeks to provide antiretroviral therapy to underserved people in 10 countries. She told me why this conference is so useful and important.
This conference is very important. One of the things that we have found in Africa, especially with the AIDS epidemic, is that we have been very successful at getting adults on treatment. We have been much less successful at getting children on treatment. And it's very important to raise awareness that children need to be reached in Africa and they need to be on treatment.
Now, you said about this lesser success in treating children. Roughly, how many newborn babies stand to get infected if their mother is HIV positive and no treatment is given to them?
Yeah, the general statistics are that about 1 baby out of 3 will get infected at childbirth if the mother has no treatment. But of course, what you have to understand is that if the mother goes on and breastfeeds, the risk to the child continues. The challenge is that we really can't stop asking women in Africa to stop breastfeeding, even if they're HIV positive and have no treatment, because for children in Africa, the biggest risk is diarrhea in the first 2 years. So if the woman has no access to clean water, and she obviously often has no money
to buy the formula
yeah,
milk.
Yeah, the formula is incredibly expensive in Africa, then she really has no choice. So it is very important to get the mother on antiretroviral therapy for AIDS as quickly as possible in her pregnancy, and then we protect her and the child.
And that's effective, is it? 100%?
That's extraordinarily effective, yes. If we put the mother on treatment, meaning full-time antiretroviral therapy, she will have almost no risk of transferring the disease to her child, either during birth or when she's breastfeeding, much less. Instead, many times people give single dose naviprin, and that is not as effective at protecting both the mother and the child.
And how many mothers in developing countries, particularly in Africa, are not getting these life-saving antiretrovirals?
Yeah, it does depend on the country that they're in. Some countries have been more effective than others at getting treatment to general population so that women who are giving birth can get access. But unfortunately, some countries have not been very effective, and this is really hurting the ability of the entire community to really prevent mother-to-child transmission.
Okay, let's talk first of all about those success stories. It's always nice to have some good news when it comes to this issue. So what are some of the success stories where the countries have really managed to get quite a high proportion of mothers taking this treatment to prevent them passing on it to their newborn baby?
Well, one example of a country that's been very successful is Rwanda. And in Rwanda, we also have patients who are in our program, and The Rwandan government is very committed to reaching women during pregnancy and to reaching the general population. So in those cases, if you were a mother who was pregnant, you would be going to be checked before you gave birth in maybe an antenatal clinic. And during that time, you would be given what is called, you would be given a regular HIV/AIDS test. So you would be tested and you would know your status during your pregnancy. And then you as a woman, you could make the decision to really encourage your family to be involved and also take responsibility for protecting your child. And the wonderful thing about Rwanda is that they really have provided access to treatment. What we found in our program is that people really do want to get treated. When we started, you know, we had very few people in the beginning.
They were very mistrustful.
Well, you had a lot of people who, because of stigma that they had, they were afraid to be tested and they were afraid to know their status. I moved to Zambia about 8 years ago. When I came to Zambia, there was no drugs in the entire country, really, unless you were maybe, you know, a minister or someone with really enough money to travel to South Africa to get drugs. There were no drugs available to the general population. And as a Catholic organization, what we really did was help people die with dignity. We would go and work with a Catholic diocese, we would work with a hospice, and we would help those people die well, to die with dignity, but we weren't helping people live because there really weren't any drugs. But once drugs came into the country and were generally available, you were really almost following the story of Lazarus. You were bringing people back to life. You had people who looked like a cadaver, who were laying in a bed, who were ready to just say goodbye to their family, who after a couple months of treatment were up and around and ready to go back to work.
So a really dramatic transformation.
Absolutely dramatic.
Well, we've talked about the success stories, but the, as you said earlier, there are some countries where it's not so good. You know, many mothers are not getting these this treatment to prevent them passing on HIV to their kids. Where are some of these countries where it's most difficult, the situation?
You know, instead of speaking of countries, I think what's probably more accurate is to say where in a country would you find it very hard as a mother to get treatment? And in many cases, it's in the rural areas. It's not uncommon to find that if you go to a capital city, that you can find all kinds of people very interested in providing treatment to adults and to children and to women who are pregnant. But it's when you go out to the rural areas, to the remote parts of a country where you find so little to serve people in need. And this is one thing I believe that the Catholic Church does so well, that our partners in the grant that I work on are faith-based organizations for the most part, about 75% Protestant and Catholic, including Muslim organizations, who really have a commitment to reaching people in need. And in the often working in these remote rural areas where no one else is, and really serving that population. And I think that's what we feel like we bring in this grant, is a hope for people in those remote areas. Because otherwise, if you're a mother in those places, you really have almost no information about treatment. And in addition, you have, if even if you know that there's treatment, you might not be able to reach it for maybe walking maybe 20 kilometers.
Let's turn to these kids who do develop HIV because their mother was HIV positive when she was pregnant. What would be the average life expectancy for these children? How many of them, for instance, go on to develop full-blown AIDS if they don't get any kind of treatment?
Well, there is normally a natural progression of anyone who contracts HIV, that in approximately 7 to 10 years, they will have full-blown AIDS. It sometimes comes quite a bit earlier in children because there's many things that make being a young child in Africa difficult. Some of them are issues like diarrhea, you have poor access to food, so you're often malnourished or stunted. So all of these factors may make it difficult for your body to really fight off the transition from having just the virus to having AIDS. But let's say you're a lucky child and you actually are in a place where you can get treatment, and maybe, you know, you have a grandmother who's caring for you because maybe your parents died, and that grandmother is willing to take you for treatment. If you are on treatment, you can often live a full life. You can often live the full lifespan for people in your country if you're on treatment, because we've gotten so much better at figuring out how to do treatment for children over the last 5 years. We've really figured out how to treat children over time, because it's much more complicated to treat children because they grow so fast. And these drugs are calibrated to their body weight. But if you manage to get the drug treatment correct, that child can grow and thrive, and you won't be able to tell the positive, HIV positive, or children with AIDS in a household from the ones who aren't. What we find is that when people in Africa are given the chance, they take it and they follow the directions. They take their drugs when they need to. They don't miss doses. They disclose their status, and they actually thrive on treatment. They want that opportunity to take back their life. And when given it, they do that and they succeed.
Now, I gather you often visit some of your projects overseas. Yes. Can you tell us any memorable anecdotes, be they uplifting, poignant, tragic, moving, that illustrate the plight of these kids you come across who are struggling perhaps with HIV or AIDS?
When I first went to Zambia, I was traveling out in a remote part of the country, and I met a beautiful young woman who had AIDS. And she came up to me, and she brought her daughter with her, and her daughter's name was Precious. And she was a very precious little girl. And this woman was suffering from AIDS. And the thing she said to me was, you know, I don't really mind that I'm going to have to die, but what can you do for my daughter? And I think that, in a way, is the question Africans really want to answer. They want their children to live. They want them to have access to treatment. And they want to live and care for those children. I think that's part of what we're called to do in this work, is to find ways to help families stay together, find ways for those children who are so beautiful, so talented, to really thrive. I know that the stories in Africa are sometimes overwhelming. I visited a clinic once where I met a mother. This clinic was on the border between Zimbabwe and Zambia. It was a remote Catholic mission hospital, and the doctor was touring us through the wards, and she was introducing us to some of the patients. And there was a mother who had two children with her, and one of the children looked really about 2 years old, and we were introduced to her. She was actually five, but she really had been stunted. And the challenge was that child had HIV, and they had just finished testing her, and she was very sick. The terrible part of the story was that her mother was actually HIV negative, which meant that young girl had contracted HIV through someone attacking her and sexually abusing her. And the stories, unfortunately, are real of how children are so vulnerable. And I think there are so many risks to children in Africa and risks to children today that I think we really have to take seriously the call to really put them on treatment, to find ways to help them survive into adulthood in a positive way. Right now in our grant, we really only serve 8% of our total numbers are children. And part of our drive over the next 2 years is to really raise that percentage to a much higher number, because we feel that it is really critical to help children.
And any feedback, any particularly memorable remarks that some of the people you've helped or you've come into contact with out there have said to you?
Yeah, I think there's so many stories that pop into your mind when you think about what has happened. We got many wonderful letters from people who were just pouring out their heart to say, look, I really am alive today because of this treatment. So I think for me, it's those kind of stories that make all of this work that we do really feel worthwhile.
I was speaking to AIDS expert Michelle Bromelsek of Catholic Relief Services.